Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Romans chapter 12 tonight. Amen. Let me try that again. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Okay. Romans the 12th chapter. And tonight, I'm going to talk about this subject tonight. We're just going to look at some scriptures on this and talk about this tonight. It's a good subject. Maybe it might not, you know, may sound so appealing to you, but it's a good subject. We're going to talk about disciplining your body. Hallelujah. Come on, shout somebody. Make me feel like I'm loved and wanted still. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. Let's begin here, verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, or in view of all the mercy that God has shown to us. You know, God's shown a lot of mercy to us. When you think about it, we were below the devil. See, people don't understand. You know, the world doesn't understand. A lot of church people don't understand this thing about redemption. There's a lot of people, you have relatives, I have relatives perhaps, that they just think, you know, in the end, God's going to, you see, I'm a good person and everything's going to be all right. But that's not the way this works. That's just a lack of understanding of what happened through the fall and redemption. You know, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, they sunk the whole human race. They actually made the devil, Satan, Lord over all of us, automatically by default. Now, I could teach you some things about this, but I don't want to go too deep because I'll get off my subject, but just understand this, that before Jesus redeemed us, we were under the dominion of the devil. Now, I could prove it to you, and a lot of, you know, this is going out on, you know, anybody can pick this up. I don't know whether I should say this or not without taking time to teach on it, but, you know, or say it to you without teaching on it. But until Jesus was resurrected from the dead, legally, Satan had dominion over the whole human race until he paid the price, died on the cross, and was raised from the dead. So it's not a matter of you being good. It's a matter of you changing lords, getting out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. See, that's what Paul said. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So it isn't a matter about us being good. It's just a matter about, you know, who has ownership of us. Till Jesus becomes our Lord, the devil has ownership of us. He legally does. And so, you know where he's going in the end, don't you? The lake of fire. And so if you don't, if he's still your Lord and master, by default, that's where you'll end up with him. You'll end up there because Jesus is not your Lord. So this idea that, you know, I'm a good person and God, I think God just weighs it out, that, you know, that's just not the way it works. That's not in the Bible at all. It's amazing to me how smart people think they are about the Bible, haven't even read it. Amen. You know, if you're going to teach on something, how many think you probably should study it, right? Amen. So, all right, so thank God for the mercies of God, everybody. Yes. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable for God to ask you to present your body to him. You know why? I'll tell you why. Here's the reason why. He owned your body. Right. Did you know what Paul told the church at Corinth? He said this. He said, know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. I mean, know what that price was. The blood, right? The blood of Jesus. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, see, the way this is, you know, you think back, you know, to slavery in our nation, the scourge that was in our nation, you know, and they would sell people. I mean, just despicable. And they would sell people. Well, when somebody bought you, they owned you. You were a piece of property. And your body now became their body. They used you. They used your body, they used your strength to work for them. Well, the fact, the truth of the Word of God is the Bible says we were redeemed. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Now, the word redeemed means we were bought back. Yeah. And it literally means, get this, it literally means we were bought back from the slave pit. Satan was a slave master. He'd taken us in bondage. Jesus, the good master, hallelujah, came along and bought us. Hallelujah. And now he owns us. Now he will not make you serve him, but it's your reasonable service to give your body to him. What does that mean? Well, my body does things for God. My body, I make my body behave. Amen. I make my body. You know, your body doesn't want to behave. How many know that? Have you learned that? Have you discovered that by now? That your body wants to act up sometimes. Amen. Now, Christians don't, some word of faith Christians don't understand this, but when you study the scriptures, you'll find out that when you were born again, God recreated you on the inside. You become a new creature, but you still got flesh. You still got a body that's yet to be redeemed. Now, God's made provision for healing for it, but it's yet to be redeemed, so it still wants to do sometimes things that are wrong. That's why, am I the only one that ever gets tempted? So James gets tempted every now and then to do something to Mona. I don't know, but whatever. I'm teasing. But how many understand? I'm not the only one. We all, because we have flesh. There's actually, see, Paul said, he clarified it in Romans 7:18. He said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. How many believe that the Apostle Paul said that? How many believe we could probably say that?
That's right.
How many believe that we're probably not any better off than he was? How many believe probably we may not be as well off as he was? Amen. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I think he probably has a leg up a little bit on us sometimes on revelation of the Word, right? And so he said, and they clarified it, he didn't mean in his spirit because we've been made new creatures. He said, that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. So you have to know that. Or you can think, what is wrong with me? I mean, pastor preaches on holiness and he preaches on living right and, you know, and then I have these thoughts or these temptations and all. Well, I mean, Jesus had temptations, didn't he? Right? You know, now, you know, Jesus, of course, his flesh was holy and righteous. How many know that? He didn't have any sin nature in his flesh. But yet he was tempted to do things, you know. See, you can be tempted to do wrong things, but then you can be tempted to do right, you know, things that aren't necessarily wrong in himself, but the devil to tempt you to fulfill them in a wrong way. Amen. Amen. You know, how my eating is a normal thing, right? Right. You know, stealing out of the store to do that's a wrong thing. It's the wrong way to meet that need, see. Okay, so we understand that if we get a hold of this, that our body has to have discipline. Because if you don't discipline it, it'll run wild. You have to make it behave. And so Paul said, it's just your reasonable service. Amen? It's just reasonable for God to ask you to present your body. It's just reasonable. Why is it reasonable? Because he owns it. You say, well, I want my body back. Well, you have to go to hell to get it back. You have to give up on your redemption. Amen. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Now, so let's go over here. If you're all, are y'all good with my sermon tonight?
Amen.
That's good, because this is it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I was just wanting to feel better about it. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I realize this. A lot of times Christians, and you're not this way, but a lot of times Christians, when you preach on faithfulness or you preach on stuff like this, they always say, well, he's talking about somebody, that's not me. I got this. But how many know we all need to tune up every now and then? Right?
Yes.
We all need a little bit of work still. You know, Paul said, you know, I haven't attained. Well, I'm sure if he hadn't, we haven't yet either, right? Now, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go here. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race, they run all, but one receives a prize. 1 Corinthians 9, did I tell you the right place? Verse 24. Got it? Know ye not that they which run in a race, you know, a foot race, Run all, but one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. So, you know, you see all these runners get up there to the starting line. Only one of them is going to get first place. But Paul said, we're to run, so we obtain. Now, the good thing about this is in our Christian life, all of us can win. We're not running against one another. We're running our own race. Are you with me now? And he went on to say, verse 25, Every man that strives for the mastery, this is the King James, and literally what that says, every man that competes, that's competing, every man that's competing, he's striving for the mastery, is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. In other words, Paul said, though he's talking about those that run, you know, races. He's literally thinking about the games that they had in Athens, Greece, is probably what he's thinking about. And he said, everyone that runs or competes, they're temperate in all things. Now, I have in my Bible, he restricts himself. In other words, if he's serious about this race, he's going to discipline himself. Yep. Now, you know, I was going to run a race several years ago, and Mia was with me. Our granddaughter was with me. She was going to it. And she said to me, she said, Grandpa, you're going to win. And I said, no, honey, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win. She goes, where's your faith? She got that off of me. Where's your faith? Well, see, here's what I knew. Here's what I knew. I wasn't trying to win. I hadn't been restricting myself. I hadn't been training like somebody was going to win. Are you with me? I wasn't disciplining my body like somebody was going to win. I was just out there. I was just a guy who got off the couch to go run a half marathon. Now, don't misunderstand me. I did train. I would do my runs during the week and then long runs on the weekend of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and do that build-up. But I wasn't training like those that were going to win. I knew I wasn't going. She asked me where my faith was. Well, my faith wasn't in winning because I knew I hadn't trained to win. See, I hadn't disciplined my body. In other words, those that get really serious about this thing, or any kind, and he's talking about right here running a race, but then he starts talking about boxing, athletic games. Those that are really serious about that, they discipline their body. They make their body behave. They don't let their body eat anything it wants to eat. Are you with me? You know, I mean, I may get up and, you know, eat a donut and drink some coffee and go to the race. I guarantee you the people that are out front probably aren't doing that. I mean, when you go to a race and you see the guys in the back that are passing around donuts and coffee, you know they're not going to win. They didn't come there to win. They just come there just to have a good time to race, just to challenge themselves. That's all, just to see if they could do it. See, that's what Paul's talking about here. He said, if you're going to win, if you're going to win in this Christian life, the only way to win is you got to be temperate. You got to restrict yourself. It's hard to preach with all this shouting going on. I don't know if they can hear y'all on live stream, but you guys, you're shouting me down now. Now, notice what he said, verse 26. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. In other words, what he's saying is this. He's saying, I'm not just out here aimlessly not knowing what I got to do. I know what I got to do. I know what I got to do. I'm not just punching at the air. I know my target. I know what I got to do. And he tells us, verse 27, but I keep under my body. I keep under my body. Well, all right, what's he saying? Well, if I'm going to win, I got to do something with my body. Amen. Now, he said, I keep under my body. Let's stop there just for a minute. I don't want to read the rest of this yet. Let's stop there for a minute. When this phrase, keep under my body, your translation may say something different, but here's what it actually means. It means to buffet your body. Not buffet, buffet. I mean, you know what buffet means? To hit, to beat. It means, this word means to hit under the eye. It means to annoy. It means to be a pugilist. You know what a pugilist is? Somebody a person who fights with their fist. In other words, what Paul is saying here, he's saying, I treat my body roughly. Now, what does he mean by that? Physically? No, he's not talking about physically. He's talking about he doesn't let his body have its way. Come on, are you with me now? See, your body doesn't want to do sometimes spiritual things. Your body doesn't always want to come to church. Your body doesn't always want to pray. Your body doesn't always want to read God's Word. Your body doesn't always want to worship the Lord. See, sometimes people come to church, well, I just don't feel like worshiping the Lord. Well, there you go. You let your body control you. Amen. Your body doesn't want to get out of bed. Your body doesn't want sometimes to be told no. It doesn't want to be made to behave. Amen. So you have to understand, if you let that rule you, you're not going to win in this Christian life. I did say you're not going to be saved, but you're not going to be a winner. How many want to be a winner? Yeah. I want to walk in the victory that Jesus Christ paid for me. But your body will derail you. Paul said that here. See, look what else he said in this verse 27. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Notice this. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the King James. Literally, it means disqualified. I'll be kicked out of the race or disqualified. But I want you to notice, he said, I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection. That must mean the body wants to get out of subjection. Even Paul's. But here's something. I've taught on this before, but I want to bring it up again. I want you to notice, he didn't say, I put under my body. He said, I keep it under. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, to put, it, you know, is a one-time thing. Keep is a constant, ongoing thing. In other words, I have to keep it this way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just put it down one time? Has anybody besides me been losing weight for over 30 years? See, I feel your pain. I know. How long you been losing that weight? Oh, 30. Well, let's see. I was 26 when I started. I'll be 60 in September. So you add the fig. You add that up, whatever that is. 34 years, is that right? All right. So I've been losing weight for 34 years. Now, if you only had to make the decision one time, I'd have it. But I have to make that decision every day. I have to decide, am I going to let my body tell me what we're going to eat today? Or am I going to tell my body what it's going to eat today? I have to confess, I've had many failures. It showeth. You see, I came in this suit tonight. Some of y'all thought, Pastor got a new suit. Oh, no. No, I just finally got back into this one. I got some more you're going to see, but they're not new. You just haven't seen them for months. I finally put this thing on and kind of feel like I can breathe. Anybody ever watch the Andy Griffith Show? That made me think of the Andy Griffith Show. How many ever watched that? Man, you're missing some good TV if you missed that. That time Rafe Hollister was singing and Andy got him that suit. He goes, I do believe he's the tightest britches I ever did have on. That's kind of the way I feel tonight. As soon as I get home, I'm putting on something a little bit looser. Okay, but I thought, you know, I haven't worn that for a while. I can get it on. I am in it. The button's not popped yet. See, what's the situation? Well, the situation is simply this. If you just could make one decision and say, you know, I'm never going to overeat again, and that did it, man, it'd be easy as could be. But you have to keep your body under. See, that's what Paul's talking about here, and he's not talking about weight here. I mean, you know, if you're going to be an athlete, how many know you got to keep your body under? You know what I'm saying? And so, he's talking about running a spiritual race. That means you make your body behave. You don't let it tell you what to do. You don't let it tell you when you can pray and when you can't pray. You don't let it tell you when you can go to church and when you can't go to church. You don't let it tell you, you know, what you're going to do. You let God's Word tell you what you're going to do. Amen? So that's part of discipline in the body. And I know a lot of times that people, you know, they just talk about the glory. Just talk about the glory, Pastor. Just talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Just talk about those things. Well, a lot of times this right here, this thing here will derail you from walking in those things. Amen. So you know, and Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. See, God, there's three parts to us. And if we don't realize that, then it can get confusing. But our spirit is preserved by faith in Jesus. We got born again. Our soul, which is our mind, will, emotions, intellect, so forth, that gets preserved by renewing your mind. But your body gets preserved by you keeping that thing under and subjected to the Word of God. Body says, well, I want to do this. Well, you check it with the Word. Does the Word allow that? Well, if the Word doesn't allow it, how many know you shouldn't allow it either? Amen? So you have to make it behave, amen? You have to keep it under. And I wish you could just put it under. You know, people say, well, by faith I put my body under, and it's never going to act up again. Well, I wish there was a scripture that said you could do that. But there's not. Paul said you got to keep it under. Amen? And so, and that's what Paul's talking about to the church at Rome. You know, you read Romans 7, and if you don't have revelation, you think, well, Paul, what are you talking about? He says, you know, it's no longer I that do it, you know. And if you know, and I mean, he talks about that in Romans, you know, that you know, and he talks about it's no longer I that do it, and so forth. I'm already confused myself, and I'm reading it. But he talks about how, you know, I don't do the things that I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. But yeah, it's no longer I that do it. You think, well, then who's doing it? But if you get to Revelation, what he's talking about he has this battle inside of him like every other believer, every other Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth. He's got his spirit man that's in the image of God and is righteous and holy and true and has the nature of God in it and is born of God and has the seed of God in it. But he still has this flesh. That's why the Bible says we're yearning and waiting for the redemption of our body to get rid of this flesh. Amen. You know, so we don't have those battles any longer. Amen. That's why Paul said, reckon ye yourselves to be dead. If you were totally dead, you wouldn't have to reckon it. But he's saying, the body's dead because of sin, the spirit's life because of righteousness. What he's saying, in your life, consider your body to be dead. Consider your spirit to be alive. Walk by your spirit, who's got the Spirit of God living inside of it. Don't walk by what your body says. Buffet your body. Blacken its eye. Pow! Be like Jackie Gleason used to tell Alice, one of these days, pow! To the moon! Now, you know, we don't physically beat our body. He's talking about not letting it have its way. See, Peter said it this way. He said, as Christ suffered in the flesh, so likewise you suffer in the flesh, that you may cease to the will of the flesh. And walk in the will of God. Let's go over there. Let's go over there to, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4. I think we're done here in Corinthians. Well, anyway, if not, we are now. Let's go here to 1 Peter. Let me show you this. This is, because, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, suffering. Well, we're just going to suffer for Jesus. But, you know, there's people suffering things that Jesus already suffered for them. You know, he suffered for your healing. He suffered for I've seen people that had, you know, that had something go wrong with them physically, bless their hearts, and God's using them. Don't misunderstand me. But then they think that God wants them like that because he's getting glory out of it. But honestly, when you read the Bible, the only time that God got glory is when sickness was relieved off people's bodies. Amen? And so I know that offends some people. I don't mean to offend you. And I'm not saying if you're sick that God can't use you. That's not it at all. There's people that travel the country that God uses widely. But they think that, you know, they're maybe handicapped or something. And they think that God made them that way so he could get glory out of that. Well, I don't have any doubt he's using you where you're at. But he's not the author of that stuff. That's the devil. And I'm not saying he's not using it. I'm not saying it. But see, that's not the suffering we suffer. People say, that's just my cross to bear. You know, I got this whole arthritis or this eye problem. I'm like Paul, you know. I got this thorn in the flesh. Well, when you study the thorn in the flesh, it says it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. That's not really hard to figure out. All you got to do is everywhere he went, he either had a revival or a riot or both. Everywhere he went, people got stirred up against him. He's just trying to do good. He asked God, cause this to stop happening. And God said, hey, my grace is sufficient. You can overcome this. See, you know, people say, well, he had an eye disease. You know, he couldn't see, you know, and all that. No. Well, now Galatians says that he preached to them with physical infirmity. Yeah, but read the rest of it. It said at the first. He must have got healed. All right, anyway, praise God. We way off the subject here, but are you getting something tonight? All right, 1 Peter 4, look at this, verse 1. He says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He didn't say suffer the same thing. He said arm yourself with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now let's just stop for a minute. If he's talking about sickness, how many know sick people, Christians, still sin? Right? So he's not talking about that kind of suffering. Well, you know, our tragedy. People that go through tragedy, they still sin. That's not the suffering he's talking about. Notice he says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer, verse 2, should live to the rest of his time to the flesh. Excuse me, let's back up again. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, what is he talking about? How many know it's suffering sometimes to tell your flesh no? Now, you know, I don't mean to harp on this or go on this, but it just the food analogy just works for me because I know I deal with it. So I don't know if anybody else does, but I deal with it. You know, I have those nights that, you know, tonight, you know, I'll be up in my man cave, maybe watching something on TV. It's 9 o'clock, 9:30, you know, 10 o'clock, you know, and I'm just like, you're not getting anything tonight. Now, I'm telling you, there can be some really intense warfare. All of a sudden, I start having visions. There's a great sheet let down from heaven, and it's all got all kinds of manner of junk food in it. And it's saying, rise, kill, and eat. Go down to the refrigerator and slay this thing. Anybody understand what I'm talking about there? Now, how many know, you have to really make your flesh suffer not to give in to that. Is that right? See, how many know, there are times your flesh wants to do things that it shouldn't be doing. And sometimes you have to make it, you got to put it through some suffering and say, well, I don't care what you want, you're not getting that. Have you ever wanted to buy something so bad you just couldn't stand it? That's every day somebody said. Have you know, you have to put your flesh down, right? You have to say, no, you can't have it, right? See, there's times that your flesh wants to do things. Now you're all going, now look, get your heads up. How many know there's times your flesh wants to sin? You have to tell it no. You can't say that, you can't do that, you can't act that way, right? I mean, there's been times, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, you know, listen, and then the devil will condemn you. No, I mean, he'll tempt you and then he'll blame it on you. Well, look at you, big Christian, thinking those things. And he put the thing in your mind to start with, see? See, but your body, and he knows, you know, how many know, the Bible says every man when he's tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, notice that. He's drawn away of his own lust. In other words, if there wasn't wrong desire in him, you couldn't entice him to do wrong. See, the desire is already there because of the flesh, the body. But Satan puts some cheese out there to tempt you. You know, the mouse, if you don't put cheese in a mouse trap, the mouse doesn't go into the trap. I know that's a heartless way to do it. But, you know, that when I lived out in the country, we had mice sometimes. It was either them or me. I decided, it's you. And the cat gets so, you know, sometimes your cat gets so doggone lazy, you just lay there and watch him. You know, you overfed the thing, and so the big fat thing ain't getting off the couch to go chase a mouse. Come on. I remember our cat just lay there and watch the birds eat her food. Just lay there and watch it. Just, you know, when it's outside, just lay there and watch it. Anything come up, eat her food. Because she's just so lazy and fat. And it's like there's an endless supply here. I don't care. Have it. Help yourself. I'm thinking, what were you made to do? Lay around and let you feed me. But how many know, if you don't put cheese in the trap, see, the mice isn't enticed. But when he sees that cheese, it entices him to go into that trap. That's the way the devil is. The devil knows there's something inside men and women, and every one of us is different. See, what works on me might not work on you. Right? We've all got, you know, Paul said, lay aside the sin. That one that's bugging you, that so easily besets you. You just have that one that you're trying to overcome. And the devil will set the trap to try to get you to go in it. See, that's why we have to discipline this body and make it behave and let it know who's boss. It's not the boss any longer. Now, before we were saved, it was boss. I mean, if it wanted to go drink a bunch of whiskey, we just went and drank it. If it wanted to smoke a bunch of dope, we just went and smoked it. Or whatever it wanted to do, we just let it do it. But once we get born again, Paul said, hey, bring it and present it to God. A living sacrifice. It's just your reasonable worship, everybody. All right, we got a little time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go there. Come on, are you with me tonight? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think this is where I want to go. Let me look and see. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, let's go there, and we're going to look at that and one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what Paul told the church at Corinth, because this is something that we don't want to be in this condition. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul said this, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, the word carnal, it literally means, you know, cadaverous, meat-minded, fleshly. So, literally, what Paul is saying is he's saying to the church, body ruled. Body ruled. You're ruled by your body. See, that's what carnal Christians are. They're ruled by their bodies. See, babes in Christ, you know, are babes because they haven't had time to grow. But you could still be a babe and have had plenty of time to grow. See? So carnal. You know, how many, just in the natural, how many know, little babies, they're just led by their impulses, by their body. If they feel hungry, if they feel hot, if they feel wet, or whatever, they let you know. They do not care if it's 2:30 in the morning, do they, moms? They don't care that you didn't get any sleep last night. Doesn't matter. That's just, they're led by their body. They haven't grown. Now, they haven't grown to the place. Now, you know, that doesn't work as they get a little older and then they start crying because they're hungry. You straighten that out, right? Now, verse 2, "I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto, or up to now, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy, strife, and division, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Now, there's a couple things here that I wanted to bring out before we close this out, and that is this. Paul said, if you're going to be led by your body, you cannot walk in the deeper things of the Spirit. And if you're going to be led by your body, you're going to live your life as a mere man. Now, what does that mean? Well, look, he said, let me read that again. He said, you walk as mere men. It's the Amplified Bible that says mere unchanged men. Something to that effect, unchanged. In other words, what's he saying? Well, he's simply saying this. If you're a Christian and you don't discipline your body and you're just body ruled, he said, you're going to live your life just like a person that's never been born again. You're not going to have victory. The things that Jesus Christ paid to give you, you're not going to be walking in those things because your body ruled. Now, you know, if you're a babe in the Lord, how many know it's okay? It's all right. If you're a newborn babe, you know, yeah, you still may be ruled by your body. God will change that. You'll grow as you get into the Word. But as we get older, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, let's go to Hebrews as we close out tonight. Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll close right here. And hopefully you got something out of this tonight. You know, just kind of challenge us to make sure that we're not letting our bodies tell us what to do. You know, just in the natural, you can't let your body just do what it wants to do. You can't just let it eat anything it wants to eat, do anything it wants to do, you know. You have to train it. Amen. Now, verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5, you there? He says, for everyone that uses milk, and talking about the word, the milk version of the word, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use or practice, everybody say practice. See, by reason of use or practice, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I mean, when you practice something, why are you practicing it? To get better, right? You know, you practice. When I was in high school, I don't think they do this any longer. In fact, I'm sure they don't. We had, one of our classes was driver's ed. And that was one of our classes that the school taught you how to drive, you know. And so we would go out, and we had a big parking lot at our school, and the back parking lot, the very back parking lot. So we would go out there, and we'd practice. And then there came a time we hit the road. You know what I'm saying? Oh, gosh, these teachers should have got paid more, I'm telling you. You know. But anyway, it was just one of the teachers that would volunteer to take these yahoos out and risk their life and limb and teach them how to drive a car, you know. And so, you know, we drive around the county, you know, drive different places, you know. And you're practicing. Now, you had to think about everything you did. You had to think about it. Because it's new. But you know what? I dare say you don't have to think anything about it now when you get in your car and leave. You just do it. It's reflective. You know, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but anyway. Reflex. Reflective would be like it shines off something. But anyway, whatever. Maybe you can use the other way. I don't know. You all don't know. I can tell you don't know either, so I'll use reflective. Okay. It's your reflexes, all right? See? See, if you're just as dumb as I am, so it ain't no need to be concerned about what you think about it. It's, you know, in your reflexes. You just automatically. It's trained. It's what am I looking for? What are they? Intuitive. What do they call that? Your muscles get muscle memory. Took an engineer to get that out. Muscle memory. Your college paid off finally, brother. Muscle memory. Or it's just you're just trained, right? See, Paul's saying you can use the word until you just train yourself. See, I don't want you to think that we're always going to have this massive battle with our body. We are always going to be training it, I'm sure of that, but we can get it trained where it starts behaving. See? Now, how do we do that? Well, look what he said. Look what he said. He said, verse 13 again, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. So they haven't trained themselves yet, see? They're just on milk. But strong meat or solid food, is what it's been said, belongs to them that are of full age, those that have grown up, even those who by reason of use or practice, they practice the word, they practice doing the word, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they have their body trained where their body now, it doesn't give them the problems it used to give them when they were younger. They've got it trained. Now, I'm not here to tell you that means you'll get to the point where you're done. Paul obviously wasn't done, right? But it does get a lot easier. Amen. Now, let me give you these three things. Are you ready for these? All right, three ways to discipline your body. Number one, you train it by the word. We just read that. In other words, you practice the word. You bring your body under the word. Body, here's what the word says. This is what you're doing, like it or not. I remember when I started working on my prayer life when I first got saved, you know. When I was young in the Lord, there was a teaching that became popular in our time. It was about praying an hour every day, praying an hour. You know, it was taken off the scripture where Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Now, here's what I've discovered as I've gotten older. God wants you, not your hour. Okay, there's a huge difference there. All right. But we were just gung-ho, and so, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to train myself to pray an hour. And it's hard for me to break that habit today. I mean, if I go to prayer, I think, well, I've got to be here at least an hour, because it was just so ingrained in me that if I leave after 45 minutes, I think, oh, I haven't finished. Now, that's not true, okay? Everybody say, that's not true. God wants you, I mean, God would rather have you for, you know, for 30 minutes than you for 30 minutes and you somewhere else for an hour. You're just doing religiously. Are you with me now? So that's not what I'm preaching here. But what I'm saying is I had to train myself. I remember I thought, okay, I'm just like a week too old in the Lord, maybe three. I don't know, just young in the Lord. I thought, well, I'm not gonna pull off an hour. I can tell that. But I think I could do 20 minutes. So I bought me an egg timer, kitchen timer. You know, we didn't have digital stuff in those days. It was on a spring. You twisted it, and it. I mean, it was real worship music. And I, every day, 20 minutes, ding, I'm done. Glory to God. See you tomorrow, Lord. Now, a lot of people look at that and judge me over that, but I'll tell you what, it made me get disciplined. See, never been in a service, but I know people that were in a service. Pastor Chuck was in a service, and you know, and I know he told them that the way he had his duffel bag looked fine to him. And I don't think they liked his suggestion. But anyway, you know, how many know they're going to put something in you called discipline, right? And, yeah, but my heart's not in it. Yeah, but something else is going to be in it. Is that not right? See, you know, I've never been in the military, but I have watched Gomer Pyle. So I do know a Marine besides Dr. Barclay. All right? And here's what I know. They don't care whether your heart's in it or not. They want your body. Because they're going to get you so trained that when you get out there on the battlefield, you automatically respond the right way. You're disciplined. See, that 20 minutes, sure, I'm sure God looked down at me. I was just a babe. I'm sure he was probably smiling and said, look at him go, 20 minutes. Woo, hallelujah. That's better than a lot of Christians were doing. I'd been at it for 40 years. And so I disciplined myself, made myself do that. But here's what happened. After I got out of the law of the thing and got into the spirit of the thing, it's like, I don't need that stupid thing. I'm enjoying being with Father. But it was my body that didn't. My spirit always wanted to be with God. It's my body that said, let's go play. Let's get out of here. Let's go do something. It's nice outside. I had to make my body behave. So if you have to do stuff like that to make your body behave, there's nothing wrong with that. You're not going to have to stay there because you get your body trained. So you have to train your body. Notice this with the word. Number two, this is kind of a long one, but you have to bring out the willingness that's in your spirit over to your body through prayer. I'll say that again. You have to bring out the willingness that's in your spirit over to your body through prayer. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said to his disciples, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Remember, he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. They fell asleep. He came back, said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, what he's saying is in your heart, in your spirit, man, it's willing. There's power in there, but it's your flesh that's weak. I've discovered, see, and Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. What was he saying? He was simply saying to them, see, your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He was simply saying to them, there's willingness in your spirit that will come out to your flesh if you'll watch and pray. Did I lose you on that? Okay, some of you I did, I could tell. Once again, the scripture is in Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41. Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. The problem's not with your spirit, the problem's with your flesh. Then he said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, lest you get defeated here. See? So what is he saying? He said, if you would just spend time praying, that willingness that's in your flesh or in your spirit would come out and overwhelm your flesh. See, there's power on the inside of you. You got to learn to walk. See, what did Paul say? Walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, do the things that are spiritual. Notice he didn't say, because people get this backwards. You get whipped when you do. People get it backwards and they say, well, if I could just make my flesh behave, I'd be in the Spirit. No, that's backwards. He said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, there'll be so much power in your life, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, look, before you get in trouble doing the wrong thing, you first get in trouble because you wasn't doing the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, the power's there not to do the wrong thing. That's what he's talking about. Even in Romans, you know, we see this scripture. The King James says it this way. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know what that word infirmity also means? It means weakness. Now, you read those verses before that, which we don't have time. But you read the verses right before that, verses 20, you know, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. He's talking about the body. He's talking about the redemption of your body. The weakness Paul is talking about in Romans 26, the infirmity is your body. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us according to the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean He's praying on His own for us. It means when we pray, He gets involved. His power goes to work. That's another teaching. Sorry I brought that up so deeply because I can't go into it. But anyway, that's what it's saying. It's saying that when we pray, the Spirit of God will help us in our weakness, which is our flesh. He'll empower us. Hallelujah. Number three, this is it. This is going to sound weird, but it's in the Bible. If you're going to discipline your body, you got to learn to control your tongue. You say, well, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, just listen to this. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to this. This is what the Bible says about it. James 3:2, James said, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. I said, able. James said, if he doesn't offend in word, he's able to bridle his whole body. What's that mean? He's able to control his whole body if he can get control of his mind, his tongue. Now, why is that? Because if you can control your tongue, it releases such power in your life, you can control anything. Because you got to know your tongue is one of the hardest things that there is to control. But if you'll work on that also. In other words, you don't use your tongue to speak evil about other people or to criticize. I've had to work on that. I've had some issues. I'll admit, I've had some issues during this COVID-19 thing and some of the things our leaders have done. I got one of my wheels in a ditch time or two and had to be pulled out by my wife. And, you know, because it's just like, what are you doing this? But, you know, and then I have to remind myself, now, wait a minute, you know, these people are doing the best they can. They're not God. They don't know everything. I can tell I'm not alone. But, you know, and I still have to watch it because I think, what? All right. But the Bible tells me to pray for those that are in authority and leadership, not just sit around and run them down. That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with some issues. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes they step over and somebody does have to step up and say, hey, no, we ain't going there. But my point is just being critical. Are you with me now? And if I can control that, James said, I can bridle my whole body. I can make my body behave. Glory to God. There's a guy. Some of you may remember this years ago. There was a guy that wrote a book, and the title of it was Hung by the Tongue. Anybody old enough remember that book? All right, if you hung by the tongue, words, your tongue can hang your life. Amen. And we're not just talking about speaking unbelief. Of course, that's so. But just talking bad about people. Amen. So, we have to learn to discipline our body. Don't let it have its way. Make it behave. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.